It takes a bold business person to expand during a weak economy. My guests today have done just that. Kathy Klesik is proprietor of La Luna Loca, a Cannon Beach women's apparel store. She's just opened an Astoria store on the ground floor of the Liberty Theater building. Karen Emmerling is proprietor of Beach Books in Seaside. Her move increased her store's footprint significantly and gained her a more prominent location at Seaside's most visible intersection. Joining me to interview Kathy Klesik is Betty Smith of the Daily Astorian. Prior to joining our newspaper, Betty was an executive in women's fashion for Nordstrom. Well, Kathy Klesik, welcome to After Deadline.
Thank you.
And so women's apparel covers a wide spectrum. Where does La Luna Loca fit?
Wow. Well, we provide the interesting factor in your clothing. So we don't specialize in solids, and we don't specialize in the things that you can find everywhere at every department store. I take those kinds of things in the comments and the interests that people express to me as far as their clothing, and I turn it into something that is adaptable and versatile for our weather and our climate and our style here in the Northwest.
How long have you been doing this?
15 years.
With your store in Cannon Beach?
With a store in Cannon Beach.
Okay. What prompted the move to Astoria?
Astoria has been doing a lot of interesting things over the last few years, and I've kind of always looked at expanding someplace, and Astoria has really gotten my attention over the last couple years, and it's such a great city. It's so interesting. It has a lot of character, and the community is just fantastic. And so with the Downtown Association and all of the things that they've been doing, it really just sparked my interest in, just kind of been looking for the right place and the right time, and it just came together.
The Liberty Theater space, what attracted you to that?
Oh, what is not to be attracted about that? That the building and the history of the space is just fantastic, and just to be part of that community and part of that space was really the spark, the moment when I stepped into that space. When the sign for lease was up, and from the outside, I thought, oh, wow, well, this could be interesting. This, we'll see if it could work. It's not on commercial. And once I walked into the space, it all just came together. It was the right space. The architecture, the building, and the history was all just something that goes together with us. And then the map on the wall was the clincher.
So. And we'll get to the map on the wall in a bit. Yeah, Betty Smith will. If you've just joined us, I'm talking with Kathy Klesik, proprietor of La Luna Loca, women's apparel store with outlets in Cannon Beach and Astoria.
So, Kathy, where do you go to do your buying?
Well, it's not buying per se like other stores do so much. I don't go to markets. I actually design the majority of clothing in the store and then work together with a couple different family groups, mostly in Bali and Thailand, that make the things for me. So I'm doing everything from the measurements all the way up to the creative design. And I work together with them. They have a lot of really great ideas too, so I can't take all the credit. They really do have a lot of input, and it's a community effort, the whole thing.
So you do the design of these pieces,
mm-hmm,
in terms of the print, the coloration, fabric, or is it more the actual silhouettes?
Sometimes it's more of one and less of the other, and sometimes it's the other way around. So the styles of the clothing is my concept and my designs. The fabric, sometimes I find fabric prints that are good to go. Mm-hmm. And I just go with that. And a lot of times over the years, though, I'll take prints that work or things that I've seen from one type of a print or a fabric design, and I'll combine it with something else or change the color palette completely or come up with the print itself. So it depends upon each print is a little bit different and each fabric is a little different.
I don't know if you've been in Astoria in your store long enough to have an answer to this, but how would you describe the customer in Astoria as opposed to the customer who comes into your Cannon Beach store?
Well, Cannon Beach and Astoria are very different places, but I'm really finding a lot of similarities. The people that we attract in Cannon Beach are very community-oriented, very open-minded, very interested in where their things come from and how they're being produced, and support. They're also very interested in supporting small businesses, and so those are things that I'm finding very much in common in the two places, which is really great. That's how we built our foundation in Cannon Beach, and it's looking like that's how we're going to build our foundation here in Astoria as well.
One of the themes of these shows that I've been doing on local businesses is businesses that are running counter to sort of the mega trends right now. I had Neil Cummings on recently of Video Horizons, and he's succeeding with a video store at a time he's supposed to be gone, you know, because of Netflix, for instance. And of course, my guest in the next segment of the show runs a bookstore. Mm-hmm. She's supposed to be gone by now and is not. And in the megatrend, I suppose women are supposed to go to the big box and find clothing there, or go to Nordstrom or something like that. But you're finding that all customers are not obeying the megatrends.
No, and I think that what really, even the megatrends are saying that their big stumbling block is always going to be people want human contact, and people want to be able to have somebody help them and talk to them and be personable, and that's our bottom line. Our business is really built on respect of people, and the people behind things, and the people are what it's all about. And so not only the people that are manufacturing the clothing and the items that I have in my shop, but the people that come in, it's about them. It's about what it is that makes them tick, and what it is and how they're going to use and wear the things that we have in our store. And so that personal service and the personal touch is something that you don't get from the big box stores. That's something they can't compete with us on.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of falls in sync with the conversation. Tell me about your handbags.
So the handbags are an amazing item, and I feel very lucky to have made a real good connection, and I can call it a friendship, with the artist that makes those bags. We met, 12, maybe even 15 years ago, but we didn't actually go into business until about 12 years ago. He was a friend of a friend, and the work that he was doing in leather was amazing back then. But now, looking at that compared to what he's doing now is just, I mean, it's a shadow of what he's doing now. And he hand tools and hand paints every piece individually. And so they're one of a kind artwork, really, that you can use every day, that holds up to our weather, and the more you use it in your way, the more it becomes individually your bag. And it really isn't they're amazing. They're really incredible, and very fortunate to be working together with him.
And where is he located?
He's in Mexico, and he very much, I give him all the artist license that he needs. The ordering with him is very loose. I just say, please send us some more bags. You know, we've gone through what you sent us last time, and what do you have new? And what, you know, he always, opening the box, a shipment from him is really like Christmas. I mean, even just looking at them is a joy. And so it's one of those things that early on, I wanted a bag in every shipment. I wanted one of them to be mine. But you learn as a business owner that doesn't work so well, because you can't keep everything that you want. You have to let it go and let it get out there to the world and to the other people. And his bags are really very much like that. And so every box is different, and he always comes up with new things, and one more beautiful than the other. So no reason to restrain him or try and influence and put my opinions on him. We have, over the years, given him feedback from our customers, and he has changed things. It always takes a while before he can vision it in his own work. Things such as linings in his bags and pockets on the inside, all of those things were things that were through feedback that we gave him from our customers.
How did you find him?
I was traveling in Mexico and spending some time in a little town, and met up with some friends there, and he was a friend of theirs. And so I saw some of his work and just was like, wow, that's amazing. And I bought a bag from him and said, you know, if this bag holds up when I come back in a year, let's talk business. And so it really went from that. And you know, an initial outlay of money, and I lent him a lot of money to buy a lot more product than what he normally worked with. And, you know, he was much more working in a smaller scale, and so we went from that, and it's just kind of built on that.
If you've just joined us, I'm talking with Kathy Klesik, whose business is La Luna Loca Women's Apparel, with stores in Cannon Beach and Astoria. So now, tell us about the map on the wall in your space that attracted you to the Liberty Theater.
The map on the wall in the Liberty Theater is an old Pan Am route map, and it's just, it's so classic. It speaks to so many different levels of the business. I mean, we are so connected with so many people all over the world, whether they be artisans that we work with or customers that come in from all over the place. And just the map on the wall with the whole world and all the different lines on it connecting us, and the history, you know, it's a piece of history. So all of those elements really tie in well with La Luna Loca and what we try and bring to the table, and the way we try and present ourselves to the world. And so it's just been a treat to be able to take that map in the condition that it was in and find an artist. And thankfully, Judith Nyland was able to bring that map back to life and was, you know, it's, if you just glance at it and you don't know its history, you think it's the original thing. Looking closer, you can see that there's been work done on it, but she did such a fantastic job. It's really hard to tell where the original is and stayed and where the new parts are beginning.
Well, Betty has a question for you regarding one aspect of the Liberty Theater that she knows more about than I do.
Oh, yeah?
Based upon conversations we've had, have you experienced any visitors from the past in your new space?
So the Liberty Theater is interesting, and one of the things that we knew going into there, that there would be some other presences potentially in the building with all the history that it has. And personally, I have definitely not seen any visitors from other times and presences, but we have definitely felt them and heard them. There are times when we're in the space, especially when we were setting the space up, that we could hear people upstairs. And we thought, wow, they must be having an event. And so we'd look outside and the upstairs would be dark. There'd be nobody in there. And if I spoke to Rosemary the next day, no, they weren't having an event up there. So, I mean, we hear them, and we hear them occasionally on the back steps. And, I mean, there's presence. There's energy there that is from the times beyond or times past. And we haven't felt any unfriendliness. We've been very open, and it's their space, too. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all of us working together, whether it's people that are living in the here and now or the people that are from the past. And it's all, we're all one.
Speaking of working together, how many employees do you have?
I have two part-time employees that are exclusive to Astoria, and then I have one part-time person that is splitting her time between Cannon Beach and Astoria. And so three people. And so it's been really interesting, and I really wanted to create not just something for me and another job for me, but a workspace that is comfortable and creates a place for it's a workspace.
Where did you get your start?
Started in Cannon Beach.
Having grown up where?
Personally is kind of a long and intricate story, but I was born overseas. I went to the military schools there, and so I've always had a lot of diversity in my life.
Okay. And you got to Cannon Beach, and you said, I guess I'm going to open a women's apparel store.
I got to Cannon Beach, and that was what was on the table and was the potential at the time. And so I actually thought it was going to go a different direction, and women's apparel is what it turned out to be, just by customer feedback, really.
Okay.
So I have to thank my customers for where I am today.
Well, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
When we come back from a break, we'll be joined by Karen Emmerling, proprietor of Beach Books in Seaside. We'll continue our discussion of local businesses that are expanding in a challenging time. My next guest is Karen Emmerling, proprietor of Beach Books in Seaside. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Earlier this year, you moved Beach Books from a location on a side street to a location on Seaside's most prominent intersection, Holiday at Broadway, and you increased your square footage considerably. Tell us about that locational choice that you made.
Well, for a long time, I'd been told that I should move to Broadway, but I never thought that it was really necessary to do that. I thought, people will find me, and people did, but now, having made that move, I realized that even more people never did find me. It's amazing what a few hundred feet can do.
Did you double your square footage?
It's about double, yes.
The thing that strikes me also about your new home is how much light comes into that space with two banks of display windows.
It's very bright in there, sometimes too bright, because there's transom windows above the main windows, which we found we have to screen in order to see the computer or even sometimes see customers walking in the door. So
yeah,
we've taken care of that, but haven't really knocked down any of the bright, cheery light that's
yeah
in there.
Would you have any guess, because I know you don't have like a traffic counter at the door that tells you how many
right
people are coming through, but the factor by which your traffic into the store has increased?
We've easily doubled, maybe tripled. Our business hasn't necessarily tripled, but we've certainly increased substantially, and traffic, especially to come in and see the cat. More people know about the cat.
I was going to get to the cat. Yeah, the cat and the easy chairs
yes
also make it a very appealing place. So tell us about that little setting there.
Well, in the old store, the cat used to sit on the back of the couch that was in the window. I always wanted to have a place where people could sit and look at books and feel comfortable spending some time there. So I wanted that to be a part of the new store, and created a window seat so that Oz could continue his work in the windows, and wanted some seating where people could just sit and look at the newspapers that we have there, or pull out a stack of books and
yeah
make their choices.
Cat's name is Oz.
Cat's name is Oz.
How old is Oz?
He's about 9.
All right.
No, he's about 11. We've
about
had
11
him for a little over 7 years, and he was probably close to 4 when we got him.
Literary cat.
A very literary cat, yes.
He's got some years left.
I think so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
That sounds good. Bookstores are supposed to be extinct in the age of the electronic reader. At least that's what people...
That's what people are led to believe,
exactly.
Yes.
But you're defying that conventional wisdom.
Well, I think there are a number of bookstores around the country that are.
Mm-hmm.
Independent bookstores, while they've diminished in numbers, are still very viable in many communities and growing, and new bookstores are actually opening up in lots of communities around the country. So I think that the death of bookstores is greatly exaggerated.
Yeah. I have a theory which may be bolstered by something I read somewhere. New technology arrives, and for a while it sweeps over a population or the country, and then at some point it begins to recede. It doesn't go away, of course, but people rediscover some of the old technology being the thing that mankind has lived with for
right
centuries, which is the words on printed paper. I've discovered this with myself. I have an e-reader, which is great when you travel on a plane. There's a certain pleasure in looking at a book that you don't get with an e-reader. You don't see illustrations at all on an e-reader. I mean, you can, but it's not the
right
same.
I think you're completely correct, and it seems to be proving that to be the case. E-reader sales have, and e-book sales have leveled off. They're always going to be a percentage and certainly have a place. We sell Kobo e-readers in the store, and we sell Kobo e-books through our website. I think that books will always be around and are kind of having a little bit of a resurgence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
People are finding that it's nice to have an e-reader, but there's still something special about a physical book.
Yeah. Well, and especially anything with back to illustrations that has that component.
And children's books, you know, it's just not the same looking at a picture book, even if some of them are now on e-readers.
Yeah.
It's not the same as looking at a real book.
Well, who are your customers at Beach Books?
We have a really wonderful, loyal local following. Mm-hmm. We do author events quite frequently that are almost 100% local people attending. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously Seaside's a major tourist community, and tourists account for a large percentage, especially in the summertime. But with weather like we have right now, they're still a pretty big part of what's happening in town.
Sure.
And we have tourists who come back to us year after year, and it's really always great to see them again and catch up on what's happened to them in their lives.
And would you hazard a guess of what the breakdown is between locals and tourists?
I would say it's probably, accounting for sales, I would say probably 60% tourists and 40% local. But it's, you know, it's a pretty even split. And I don't think if it weren't for our local customers, we could have made the move or be doing it. What we're doing.
If you've just joined us, I'm talking to Karen Amerling, proprietor of Beach Books in Seaside. Well, back to the basic premise of this show, which is that some businesses are expanding in what we would call economically challenging times. From the look on your face and what you're saying, this is working for you.
It's working.
Yeah.
It's working. It's like a new business. There are no quiet days anymore, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, it wasn't quiet when I walked in there. So back to your customers. What do they buy? What are they buying these days?
One thing we've done, and one of the reasons that we did make the move, was we wanted to expand into what have in the book industry for years been called sidelines. But at a recent conference I was just at, because of the importance that they are having now in bookstores, we're calling them gift items. And people are buying a lot more things than just books or even book-related items. We sell a lot of cards. Yeah. A number of the stores that had carried cards in Seaside either are no longer doing so or no longer around, like the Great Shop in Gearhart. So we've kind of taken up that as a major focus on what our non-book items are. But we're selling things like socks. We have these great socks from Portland that are selling like crazy.
Great.
As far as books, we're selling... I think one of the things I've noticed from the move is we're selling more hardcover books than we were before. Mm. And I'm not sure what accounts for that, but...
Mm-hmm. What's your hottest category?
Fiction.
Fiction, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, fiction definitely is still strong.
Yeah.
Young adult certainly was when the Hunger Games series was all the rage. And then, of course, romance with 50 Shades was
big.
Pretty big,
big
there
big, big.
For a while.
Yeah. Now, you also have magazines and newspapers.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
And that's something I had always wanted to have in the old store, mm-hmm. but never really had the space to have. And it's also a matter of defining and refining the selection.
Sure.
So I'm constantly working on that and trying to figure out what magazines.
Yeah, carry. It's very appealing. Astoria once had a great magazine store.
Yes.
I've forgotten its name now already.
Chris's News.
Chris's News, precisely. And now there is nothing. It's great to have a place to read, because as you know, the spectrum of magazines is huge.
Yes.
And
that's the challenge.
Yeah. how do you narrow it?
Yes.
And be selective, et cetera. You also offer special ordering, I understand.
We do a lot of special orders. And, you know, of our local business, a lot of it comes as special orders. Mm-hmm. It'll be a book they've seen on a television program, heard on NPR. Mm-hmm. And it's always kind of a challenge because often they either don't remember the title or they don't remember the author or they don't remember either one, but they know they heard about it.
Yeah.
And sometimes remember where they heard about it. And it's kind of a game for us to track all that down.
Yeah.
And usually we can do so and get things the next day or two.
Your supplier comes next day, doesn't he?
For most books, yes. We either get them from Partners West in Renton, Washington, or from Ingram, which has a warehouse in Roseburg.
Mm-hmm.
They also have a warehouse in Tennessee, which is their main warehouse. So if it's not in the Roseburg warehouse, 90% of the time we'll be able to get it, and it'll come from Tennessee in about 4 or 5 days.
You've mentioned the authors. How frequently do you have authors, and where do you get them? How do you get them?
We try to have at least one author lunch a month, and in December, we're having two because of how scheduling worked out, and had one yesterday that was just wonderful.
Who was your author?
It was Karen Carbo. She has written a number of biographies of what she calls kick-ass women. The most recent one is Julia Child, and so we did a catered lunch that was inspired by Julia Child.
Catered lunch in the store?
In the store. Oh. We do them in our loft.
Yeah.
And
how does one learn about your author lunch?
We send out a newsletter.
Okay.
We also try to get it listed in the Astorian.
Yeah.
I'm efficient enough to get the information out in time.
Okay. How does one get on your newsletter list?
Give us a call. We'll add you to the newsletter.
Okay. Okay.
Or if you're in the store, there's always a sign up.
Okay.
But as to how I get them, I attend the Pacific Northwest Booksellers Association conference,
mm-hmm.
where there are, 40 to 50 to 60 authors there, and try to make contact with ones that seem they would fit with our audience, and they're generally very, very willing to come.
Yeah.
We just set up an event with the Natural Nook, and that's another thing we try to do is partner with other businesses when mm-hmm. we can, where Ted Mehar from The Oregonian will be coming down because he has just edited a book of his wife's
garden
information,
sure.
garden articles, and so that will be in December at the Natural Nook.
Well, with about a minute left, how did you get into the book business? How did you choose that?
I went to Wordstock to hear Elizabeth George, who is a mystery writer. And
what year?
This was in the spring of 2005. It was before Wordstock moved to a fall event. Walked in and felt like this was where I should have been my entire life. And it was 6 months later that we opened the doors of Beach Books.
Okay. You leased space,
an
inventory, and opened the doors.
Yep. Having never been in the book business or been in retail before.
Yeah, wow.
I think there were a number of people, including probably my husband, who thought I was absolutely out of my mind. But
but it's worked.
But it's worked.
Fabulous.
I've never been happier.
It's a great story. Great
Thanks.
Story. I've been speaking with Karen Amerling, proprietor of Beach Books. This has been After Deadline, a joint production of The Daily Astorian and Coast Community Radio. And our sound engineer is Richard Ridgway.